Hello, Aman.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Aman. Am I audible?
Yes, yes. Loud and clear.
I'm Arun Kumar Karthikeyan. So,
yeah.
Thank you for accepting this call, Aman, and I apologize for rescheduling it.
No problem. I think slightly delayed from my side also, so apologies for that.
No issues, Aman, no issues, yeah. I have with me Mr. Dinesh also, who is my partner. So, we run a CA, I'm a practicing chartered accountant. So, I'm the investor and so Dinesh is my partner and he's also interested to invest in Bait. So, he wants to be a part of this call. So, I've also brought him to this call.
Yeah. Hi, Aman, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Aman.
Yeah. So, Aman.
You're based out of?
Chennai, Aman.
Chennai, okay.
Yeah, and so we have been investors for last 2-3 quarters now, and I was also part of the con call last time that you did, and today due to due to unforeseen circumstances, I was not able to be part of that call. So therefore, I requested for this call. Thanks again. So can we go to the call, Aman, or?
Sorry.
Can we start the call?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I've collated some list of questions that I would like to ask you. So I'll start with that. And so first my query is on the vehicle loan disbursements. So we have been increasing our allocation in the vehicle loan disbursements. So are these loans primarily for new or used commercial vehicles? What type of vehicle loans are we focusing on?
So these are used vehicles, hardly 4-5% of our portfolio is new vehicles. Apart from that, all is refinance. And in the vehicle loan portfolio, I'm giving you rough numbers. So around 80% of our vehicle loan portfolio comprises of light commercial vehicles, including Tata Ace, Mahindra pickup vans, Tata 407, small freight carrying and passenger carrying vehicles. Around 15% comes from tractor and agri allied vehicles. And about 5% comes from private cars. So roughly this is the composition.
Okay, so there's no HCV, heavy commercial vehicle or construction type of vehicles.
There is, but that is almost negligible. So that's why I didn't mention. In the LCVs, this thing that I've said 80-82%, you can roughly feel that around 1.5-2 crores would be from heavy commercial vehicles or JCVs. But our focus is not that.
Got it. And Aman, so we primarily wanted to be a LAP player, and but our LAP has been growing in single digits. So LAP is a more stable and a relatively comfortable segment, right? So the growth in the vehicle segment has been higher when compared to LAP. So how do you envisage this, and what you think would be an ideal mix between the two?
So there are two aspects to your question. One is we started doing vehicle loans 1.5-2 years back from a small base. After COVID, our base had reduced from almost 40-50 crores of AUM in vehicle loans. It had come down to 20-25 crores, and now it's back at 85 crores approx. So the base was relatively small. That's why the jump in the AUM share is more in vehicle loans, because 2020-21 during lockdowns, our vehicle loan portfolio comprised of, fleet owners, Ola, Uber guys, taxi, tourism related, school buses, tuition center related vehicles, etc. So this segment practically didn't have any cash flow during those 1.5-2 years of lockdown, and because of practically nil tourism, no schools open, nothing. So our AUM, because it's a small 2-3 year tenure loan in vehicle loans, it came down drastically. So the jump on that small base is much higher. Having said that, you're right in saying that, MSME LAP secured loans is a much more comfortable product. But what has happened in last 2-2.5 years is that we feel that that additional comfort that used to be there because of our low LTV or, you know, secured MSME LAP product, that has fairly, you know, not so comfortable and not so conservative now, because a lot of players, large HFCs, fintechs, NBFCs has come in into northern states of Rajasthan, Gujarat, etc. You know, and we feel that a lot of players are actually not doing the due diligence and the credit underwriting the way it should be done for our kind of tier 3 rural small marginal customers. So that comfort is, you know, that comfort of LTV, FOIR, taking restricted calls on new to credit customers, that is somewhere lacking now, and companies are taking underwriting calls on these customers without any rationale, basically. So, you know, I'll give you an example. You might have heard of Capri Global.
Capri Global, yeah.
I don't know if it's right or not to name a company like that, but still, we had sanctioned a case for 12 lakh rupee loan because of some imperfect collateral, but the customer profile was very strong. Mm-hmm. And this company has given a 22 lakh rupee loan to the same customer that we were, you know, very hesitant to give 12 lakhs also. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's how the credit underwriting is going for a toss because of steep targets and, you know, huge pressure from investors or PE funds or whoever has invested in these large companies. Mm-hmm. And the underwriting, we think, is a problem now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why what we are doing is we are keeping a very conservative approach on MSME LAP and, you know, disbursing about 8 to 9 crores in that product and about 7 to 8 crores in vehicle loans every month. Mm-hmm. And roughly 5 to 6 crores is roughly monthly rundown also on our existing loans. So the addition in the AUM of MSME LAP is relatively lower compared to vehicle loans.
Got it. And what is the IRR difference between these two? So,
18 to 19% is roughly what we are charging in MSME LAP.
Hmm.
That used to be 22, 23% 2-3 years back, but because of competition, it has come down drastically.
Hmm.
And in the vehicle loan, our average yield is about 20.5%.
20%. Got it. Yeah. And can you explain the current status of the loan book? So how has the stage 2 and stage 3 moved during the quarter? Because we saw that the collection efficiency has dipped from 95% last quarter to 92% in June. So could you throw some light on that?
Dip,
as well as how the collection efficiency has been in July, August? So, how is the experience?
So, you know, to be very honest, because we are operating in Rajasthan majorly and MP Gujarat, these months of April, May, June, when it's severe heat, the collection tendency is to, you know, fall a little bit because teams have added extra pressure in March month and collected some delinquent accounts and, you know, and especially because of these months with severe heat, it tends to go down. But June, July, August, again after rains and again after, you know, farmers are able to sell their crops in this harvest season, the collection efficiency betters in quarter two of every year. Said that, there is not much, you know, flow from stage 1 to 2 or 2 to 3. It's hardly few numeric percentage. And doesn't bother us that much because it's a secured loan book. You know, had my loan book been unsecured and there was delinquency in stage 1 or stage 2, I would have bothered more because, you know, unsecured loans, personal loans tend to get written off or there is principal loss at a higher rate compared to secured loans. So that's not much of a trouble, and quarter 2, quarter 3, because of the monsoon and festive season, the collection efficiency tends to be again back to normal, and we see a lot of overdue collections also in these months.
So they have improved over June.
Yeah, it will definitely improve over June. And we are seeing that also almost, you know, through with July, August. Mm-hmm. So the collection efficiency and collection from overdues is improving.
Okay. And what is the GNPA and NNPA target that you have by end of FY25?
So you have to understand that we have moved from 180 DPD recognition of NPA to 150, and now we are at 120 as on June. So okay. We have come down by 60, you know, two buckets, 60 days. And so, I mean, around 2.5, 2.6% is where we see our gross NPA at end of this year because of the reduction in the recognition of NPA. Mm-hmm. And March 26, we have to be at 90 DPD as per RBI guidelines.
Yeah.
So this is all across small and medium-sized NBFCs.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we'll be at 120, and next year we'll start recognizing NPA at 90. So this should be around 2.5, 2.6 year at the year end.
Okay. So because of this change, would you have to increase your provisions that could impact the profitability?
Yes. Yes. No, I mean, we have already done that in this quarter. And okay. Further, we don't have to increase our provisions. Because we are already at around 83-84% PCR, and which is a very, very conservative number, and I don't think you know, we'll be needing more provisions, or there'll be any slippages out of this after this provision as well. So this is a very fair and a conservative number that we have taken against provisions, around provisions.
Okay, so your target of 20-25% growth in CAD remains intact for FY25.
Yes, yes. So on all fronts, we are targeting a 20-25% growth.
Hmm.
Be it AUM, AUM will be a you know, little bit steeper challenge because there's a lot of pressure from you know, other competitive banks and NBFCs and small finance banks, and a lot of loans are getting taken over.
Hmm.
We call it balance transfers, BTs.
Hmm.
So disbursements are in line, but we have to, you know, keep a view and check on retaining the customers.
Got it. So, Soman, we mentioned about these loans being secured, right? But typically, are these hypothecated? So, I believe there are few restrictions, right? The SARFAESI norms come into the picture. And is it only for a comfort, from a comfort perspective, these are secured, or these are actually hypothecable?
So vehicle loans are all hypothecated, and in the registration certificate of the vehicle, our hypothecation gets endorsed just like a bank.
Yeah.
In the secured MSME LAP, we are almost 90-92% of our underlying collateral is self-occupied residential property of the customer, and it's not a investment property or a commercial property. That is fairly around 9-10% only.
Mm-hmm.
So the emotional attachment with the collateral is much higher when we are, you know, mortgaging the house.
Mm.
Secondly, in the loan structure, we are taking at least 3-4 co-applicants and an additional guarantor in case of any deviations from the policy. Mm-hmm. So that adds another, you know, sense of belonging to the customer, because the entire family is more or less involved in the loan structure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, around the question that you asked about, actually, if it's, you know, attachable or SARFAESI can be implemented on these. So as per RBI norms, till date we have SARFAESI rights for only loans with total outstanding of more than 20 lakhs.
Mm-hmm.
Under that, we don't have SARFAESI rights, but we can obviously proceed with 138 arbitration proceedings, etc. And there are 4 or 5 property titles that we cater to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Regularized development authority of the city, some housing pattas, some cooperative society pattas, agricultural land, etc. So in the chain document, if we find any registered document from the authority or a sub-registrar office, then we go ahead with equitable mortgage. But for all other property titles which are category B and below, we go for a registered mortgage where the family has to come down to a sub-registrar office, place their thumb impressions, etc., and go for a physical mortgage, registered mortgage. So that adds to the sense of, fear in the customer's mind that, you have to understand the psyche of rural customers. If I'm just accepting the documents and keeping it with me, that doesn't fear them. I mean, when the entire family or a couple of them are traveling to the sub-registrar office, putting their thumb impressions, then that adds to the collateral value, basically. They know that, we've gone to a government office or a government office, mortgaged our house, and if we default, then there could be a negative repercussion or, impact to our entire family and the house, etc. So that emotional attachment is obviously more. Being in Chennai or Mumbai or, larger cities like Delhi or even Jaipur, you wouldn't know who stays in your society two floors up, two floors down, or, in the same locality, four houses, 10 houses away from you. You wouldn't know that kind of neighbor. But in the rural tier 3, tier 4 locations that we are operating, if you know the customer and his father's name, the entire village will tell you, you take a left, take a right, and that will be customer's house. So people know each other, and hence they are more bothered about their impression in the house, in the village, in the locality, their credit history. If a NBFC or if a advocate, if a NBFC or any financial institution sends their legal team, collection team, or a advocate to their house, that impacts their overall credibility in the village. So they try to avoid that.
Clear. Got it. Yeah. And so this touched upon it in my last call as well about the leverage that we have. So the leverage that we have is hardly 1.2x or 3x something. So where is our track on that? What is the current cost? So are we securing longer tenures from banks or large NBFCs? Have we onboarded any new banks in the last 5-6 months? So who's leading these discussions from BID? So is it you or the?
I'll give you a brief about it. So our leverage is around 1.45 as on latest dates. And this leverage is, easily acceptable by banks and NBFCs up to 3-3.5 times also.
Yeah.
So when we are targeting a 600 crore of AUM in next 2-3 years, we feel that, this capital adequacy that is at 45-46% as of now will be around the mark of 29-28%, which is fairly acceptable. And we can go up to, 4x of borrowings easily, 4x of leverage easily. And once we are, above 2-2.5-3, as we go higher, the return on capital employed, etc., will improve.
Yeah.
Having said that, your second part of the question was, are we targeting banks? So we have securing long-term borrowings from banks. That is our major focus now. We are avoiding small and medium-sized NBFCs for our fundraising. Either, AA, AAA rated NBFCs or large banks is what we are targeting. We have just 2 days back received a sanction from Union Bank, which is a long a big tranche, and the tenure is also 60 months. And apart from that, we are in talks with DCB Bank, and we have recently got a tranche from a small finance bank as well. First financial year, we have added Federal Bank, ICICI Bank, IDFC Bank has given us a recent tranche. So we have added 6-7 banks, and our further comfort and further target is to at least get 2-3 more banks onboarded this year, so that our cost of borrowing goes down by around 20-30 basis points, and there is a comfort in the entire lender's perspective. When we add new banks, even NBFCs come forward and try to tend to lend you at a lower pricing. So we are discussing with DCB Union. I just said we have finalized and the tranche should come with before 30th September. The first tranche should come before that. And we have recently tied up with Capital Small Finance Bank also. And so this should, you know, get our cost down by 20-30 basis points and improve our overall lender base and add more banks.
Okay. What is the current lender base that we have?
There are about 16-17 lenders, about 50% are banks, 50% are NBFCs. In the total borrowing structure, about 60% of our borrowing comes from banks, including small finance banks. And apart, I think 40-42% is from NBFCs.
Good. And you are leading the discussions with these banks?
Yes, more or less.
Got it, got it. Yeah. And my next question is on the rating rationale. So we are rated triple B, right?
Hmm.
By CARE, and when is it due, and do we envisage any upgrade or?
So it's due in current month only, in September. The data exchange is happening now, and so if you see our rating rationale, there are 2-3 points that the rating agency have highlighted. You know, one is geographical concentration. So to mitigate that, we have gone to Madhya Pradesh and Gujarat. On date, about 84% of our AUM is Rajasthan, and 14% we have been able to, you know, build in MP and Gujarat in last 1.5 years. Our target is to reach about 79-78% by year end, and this will see a AUM of about 100-120 crores by year end from the new states. So this is what we are targeting to counter that. And you know, so when I talk to the rating agencies, although they have mentioned geographical concentration, but if you see, you know, if, had I been an NBFC based out of Delhi, within 200 square kilometer radius, I would have touched Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, Haryana, Punjab, you know, Delhi NCR itself. So maybe some parts of couple of other states also. So within a square kilometer area of 200 kilometers, I would have been present in 5 states. Then, you know, rating agency wouldn't have said geographical concentration, because number of states are more, but square kilometer area wise, I'm much less. Rajasthan being a large state, even if I go 250-300 kilometers away from Jaipur, it's still Rajasthan. So you have to see geographical concentration in terms of area square kilometer and not number of states, but they don't understand this kind of concept. So I've spoken to, you know, very senior positions in CARE ratings also this time. And I have emphasized on this, these points. And, you know, then the second portfolio, the second point they mention in the rating rationale is moderate to low seasoning of our AUM. So, you know, these are some, you know, minor points that they point out and put in the rating rationale. But to be very honest with you, our portfolio of MSME LAP, which was the second product that we started in 2015, has already seen demonetization in 16, GST impact in 17, DHFL ILFS crisis in 19, COVID 1 in 20, COVID 2 lockdown in 2021. Having seen so many one-off events, still if our portfolio is able to be, you know, performing and robust, that speaks for our credit underwriting. But, you know, to just to put some negative points, they put this in the rating rationale. The very simple logic for them is, if you are not 500 crores, we are not going to upgrade you. So typically, if you see all the NBFCs across India who are at 300 to 400 kind of a AUM structure and have been steadily growing at 20-25% year on year, they don't go to triple bus plus, triple B plus or A minus kind of a rating. Although we have pressurized them a lot this time, and you know, emphasized on all the positive factors that have happened in last couple of years in the company, but still, you know, I feel it's a 50-50 chance that they might upgrade or they might not upgrade.
No, okay. Mostly.
So basically, 500 crores is the criteria to go to triple B plus, and around 750-800 crores, have, if all the other factors are positive, then they go to a A minus kind of a credit rating.
Okay, so we can expect it to be reaffirmed.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Got it.
So what, at least what I'm expecting is, you know, this is my expectation, but this is at least what I'm expecting is reaffirmation on the same, this thing rating, triple B with a positive outlook from a stable outlook. So okay, that's
good. Nil chance of rating downgrade, right? Because it's very difficult to predict these guys' behavior.
Nine A. There are no chances of rating downgrade.
Clear. Okay. And then I would like to also talk about the branch expansion that we have done. So we have expanded from 37 branches in March 2023 to June 52 now. 52 in June, which is almost 40% growth. However, AUM optically hasn't grown much. So are we seeing quality loan demand in the new branches that we have opened? And what is the typical break-even in terms of months for a branch? So
it typically takes 4 to 5 months for a branch to be break even on its own on a monthly basis, on a monthly fee collection basis, you can say. So because these branches are new, it's going to take at least, you know, 1 or 2 quarters more for all of them to start performing. Few of them have started performing. We are getting around 40 to 50 lakhs business from branches that we had opened last year. So almost, you know, when once the branch does 50 lakhs of business on a regular basis and there is a stable team that has joined and, you know, come in. So at that level, which is about 4 to 5 months on a rough estimate basis, the branch becomes operationally viable for us on a monthly basis. So on a 50 lakh rupee loan, disbursements every month, there would be a fee income of about 1 to 1.5 lakh. Approx 1 to 1.5 lakh rupee every month. That should be able to cover the fixed cost of the branch every month. That is salaries and basic rentals and petty cash.
Got it. And in the branches that we have opened, are we seeing quality loan demand or?
Yes. So Madhya Pradesh and Gujarat that we started. Gujarat is still on 100% monthly collection efficiency. There is not even one delinquent case there. In MP, there are about 7-8 cases which have gone to bucket 1, bucket 2, out of more than 1,000 live cases. And collection efficiency last month, the month that we have closed in August, is about 98%. More than 98% basically. So in excess of 98.3 or 98.4 to be precise. So yes, the portfolio that we are building there is good, robust, quality portfolio. Although, you know, and also because our mindset was from day one, as far we go from Jaipur to newer states, newer geographies, we'll cater to a better profile of customers and less new to credit customers. So yes, the yield compared to Rajasthan is 1-1.5% lower in the new states, but the quality and the numbers around the DPDs and delinquencies will be much lower.
Clear. And how does the credit appraisal work? I mean, so is it centralized at head office or is it decentralized at each branches? What is the typical CIBIL profile of the customer? First time borrowers.
We have given recommendation powers to our area credit managers and branch credit managers up to some extent. But final approvals, final disbursements, final sanctions, all are happening at the HO level right now. And almost, you can say, around 85-90% of the files till date are still coming to Aditya or me for final approval.
So 85-90%.
So we are more or less, you know, around 1.5-2 hours a day, we are giving to the credit sanctions, credit approvals every day. And so you can say any case with a minor deviation also is coming to us. All the new to credit customers, first time borrowers, first time users are still coming to us. And only the cases which are scored higher according to the matrix that we have made and there are no deviations are approved by the RCM and ACMs. But still, you know, after final sanction from their side also, a go ahead is coming to us. So, till date, that is the structure and it's being centralized till date.
Clear. Good one. And is the lab product completely retail, or is there any real estate component also in it?
There is some kind of real estate portfolio, but all the loans in the higher ticket size, wholesale or real estate, is prior to COVID. There are no new loans in that segment.
Okay, and how is that performing?
It's decent, air. Matlab, to be very honest, a lot of loans have already been closed in last 1.5 years. There is a sudden major boom in the property prices, real estate prices. So a lot of customers, good and bad, prompt and delinquent, both have come in, and you know, who are prompt have got a loan on the same collateral, which is much higher at a lower ROI from larger NBFCs banks. Who are delinquent are able to sell these units and come and repossess. So last 1.5-2 years, I mean, there are no complaints. Either way, the cash flow is positive and we are able to collect from these customers.
Got it. And can you talk about the audit practices at Bates? So do we have branch audits, internal audits? So how is it typically scheduled? How do you ensure that a branch is following the guidelines prescribed by the head office?
To be very honest with you, every month at least one HOD is visiting each branch. So mm-hmm. they have a checklist with them, the basic regulatory compliance checklist and the hygiene check of the branch. They do that every month. On the second part of your question, because our credit underwriting is still centralized in HO, the branch don't have so much powers. So, you know, they are just doing operational part of it, collecting documents, logging in the case, etc. But sanctioning is still happening from HO. So that, you know, gives us a much more comfort till date. Thirdly, final disbursements are happening through me. So each and every case, be it a 20,000, 30,000 disbursement or be it a 30 lakh disbursement, every disbursement is routed through me till date. So, you know, the structure is very lean till date. There are not many, the hierarchy is not very, you know, stretched. So it's still in control, but yes, there are internal audits happening. And I'll tell you what, 3-4 years back, up till 2019-20, before QR codes and UPI was, you know, widely acceptable to our customers, this was a major concern because there was a lot of cash collection still involved. And, you know, there were on and off one or two complaints from a couple of branches every year, that, you know, there were some kind of small cash frauds, 50,000, 1 lakh, 2 lakh ka koi fraud ho gaya hai, aisa kuch. But now, because the dependency on cash collection is so low, the, you know, as the fear of actual damage, you know, on a cash collection is much low now. Secondly, what we have done is, since last 3 years, we have got a app, collection app, for our on the field staff, which have credit limits of only 50,000 rupees. So if the executive has collected 49,000 rupees in a day, he has to go and deposit that cash in the bank account, share a screenshot of the deposit slip to our accounts, then only they reactivate his account, you know, and give him a limit of 50,000 again. So earlier, when there were manual receipt book kind of operations, and you know, that was in practice, the guy could collect even 2-4 lakh rupees a day and we couldn't know on real time basis. But now with the mobile app on all our field team mobile phones, smartphones attached to a Bluetooth printer, on real time basis we know at HO level, at the head office, that, you know, how much exposure of cash does one executive have. And once it goes beyond 50,000, it automatically gets logged. So to reactivate his limit, because the rural customer demands a receipt if he's paying cash. He wouldn't just pay cash and, you know, be all okay if the guy is not giving him a receipt. So those chances of fraud, cash collection, all that has come down. Our dependency on eNACH, ECS, BBPS, QR codes, UPI, NEFT, all that has increased so much that, you know, overall it's a good place to be in now compared to where we were 4 years back.
Got it. And to handle these and all these have to be integrated into the loan management system. So which loan management system you use, and is it what the industry people also use? So could you throw
we are on Jaguar software right now. So okay. To give you a picture about Jaguar, SK Finance, if you heard of, largest NBFC based out of Jaipur. They were on Jaguar till about 2,500-3,000 crores of AUM. And AU Small Finance Bank, before it became a bank, up to 3,000-4,000 crores of AUM was on Jaguar. Jaguar is a widely accepted LMS software, and but there are some limitations attached to Jaguar. Hence, for LOS reports and mobile apps for our team and customers, we have tied up with Graviton. So by this year end, we should be December end, calendar year end, we should be live for our LOS, both for our SME lab and vehicle loans with Graviton. And we are aiming that, our first yearly report we can fetch out of this software in March. So that is our target.
Got it. And when it comes to vehicle loans, you have been handling lab products for over 4-5 years. So you would have gained some expertise in it. And so CV is a relatively, sorry, vehicle loan is a relatively new segment for us, and we intend to grow it. So how do you ensure that you have understood the best processes that have been implemented in terms of credit origination and all that? So.
On the contrary, we are doing vehicle loans since 1991.
Oh, okay.
The company was formed. Yes.
And
so, yeah, we've been doing vehicle loans since more than 3 decades now. Mm-hmm. And I think our understanding of the segment that we are in is as at par with the MSME lab. And it's a older product for us. And the day I joined office in 2013, and Aditya also, when we joined office in 2013 to 15, 2 years we have done TVR, PD, FI of a lot of vehicle loan customers. 2015 to 2017, about first 500 odd SME lab cases, MSME lab cases, all the on ground work, TVR, FI, PD, inspection of these borrowers, meeting them, personally visiting them, all that has been done by us. So on-ground knowledge that we have gained out of that preliminary checks and, visiting these customers to understand them, to understand their incomes, expenses, how the family is, earning, saving, spending, investing. We have a fair bit of on-ground knowledge now, and a lot of team has, is with us from 2015-16 onwards. So the higher level people, there is very low attrition with us, and that has been a major positive for us. So we understand our team, and team understands what is expected out of them from us and from the customer. So it's been that way. And I think now, having gained good knowledge of these two products in over last 9-10 years, having faced some real challenging times in COVID, demon, etc., we feel that we are better placed to grow rapidly now, as on ground knowledge we have already secured and experimented and experienced ourselves. So it's not that from day one I'm at this in my cabin and not moving around or not meeting customers or not meeting our branch managers, etc. Every month we keep a BMC, which is a branch manager connect, where for close to 2 to 3 hours the branch managers have an open mic. They can speak to us. We are live with them, discuss issues around our policy, around how we can reduce our turnaround time, what is the expectation of the customer, how we are providing for the expectations of connectors, DSAs, etc. And we are doing that on a monthly basis still. And a lot of visits to new branches, old branches is still being done by both of us. So we are at least, out of office 2 days a week for these visits, etc. So, you know, we don't want to lose out on the on-ground practical knowledge just by sitting in the head office. And, you know, a lot of telephonic verifications, PD, is still done by us. We, you know, go and sit with the collections team, the telecalling team who are speaking to the delinquent customers. So we are very much involved in day-to-day operations.
Got it. Aman, so you and Aditya both are very young, and how do you both ensure that you're preparing yourselves for the larger picture to take the company forward as we reach 500, 750 crores of AUM? So
I think the next challenge or the opportunity that is there with us is how both of us can start delegating the functions that we are doing and trust our people. So, you know, if you're doing everything on your own, you are confident about the product, policy, customer, everything, and you're answerable to yourself. But once you delegate that, how to, you know, keep a check on how underwriting is being done, how the collections on ground are being done, I think how, you know, to trusting your people. So that is the next opportunity and challenge for us. And if we are able to do that well, we can grow at a much rapid pace.
Got it. And the next few questions would be slightly trickier. So I just wanted to get a background about the family's commitment to the business. So Aditya, so both are involved. Is there any other family member who's involved in the business? And
my grandfather, Pannalalji Baid. He's the CMD of the company.
Yeah.
My mother, Mrs. Alpana Baid, is on the board of the company. Both of us are there. So four of us from the family are directly involved in the business. My father is also involved in the business, but not at a, you know, office bearer position, because we also have another part of a family business, which directly is not seen by us. We have our relatives who are taking care of daily operations there, but my father is involved in both the companies on the back end, you can say. So from the family, four of us are involved. This is our bread and butter. We have been doing this for more than 3 decades now. And we wish to continue and be involved in the same business for 3 more decades to come. So this is our commitment to the business. And because of so much of day-to-day operational, day-to-day involvement in the business, we feel it's very far that, you know, we can separate from daily operations and, you know, just attend board meetings or give away the company in a professional way to professionals to run it and all that. That's a long, far-fetched thought, not currently.
Clear. And is there any personal guarantee that you have given to all the lenders or?
Yes. So all the loans have personal guarantees. Banks have multiple personal guarantees from, you know, at least 3 of us. Mm-hmm. And in the other NBFCs, at least, 2 of us are there as a promoter guarantee, as a personal guarantee. So in most of the cases, it's either Aditya and me or me and my grandfather.
Clear. And if the company requires additional amount of capital, so I've also inquired about you, your family in the market. I believe everyone has told me that you guys have the adequate capacity to inject further capital if required in the company. So could you just throw some light on that? So if how do you see that?
So next couple of years, we don't see any requirement, to be very honest with you. But if there is any such requirement, then we are fully committed with the company, to the company. And so you have to understand, you know, Karthikeya, that in India, although we call it business entity concept where you are separate from your business, but in India, that's not the true picture. because our collaterals, our house is mortgaged, our office is mortgaged, our personal guarantees are there in all the loans, you know, we just can't separate ourselves from the business. In the legal terms, yes, we have limited liability, but if you see it in a whole picture, we don't have any limited liability. You know, when our personal guarantees, our residential house is mortgaged with SBI to avail the term loan that we have, our office building is mortgaged with UCO Bank for the term loan that we have availed. So our personal assets are also involved, our guarantees are involved. So we can't detach ourselves from the business, basically.
Okay. And any number you could throw up, what could be the family's net worth if you're comfortable with it?
There are a few investments that are, majorly land investments that we have as a family, but none of them are in our individual names. Almost all of them are in a few private limited companies. So, for example, our residential house is also in a private limited company. That is how it was structured from a long time. So, and it's better if it's in a private limited company for some other reason. Having said that, I wouldn't give you a number, but you can say it's relatively, covers quite a bit of risk or NOF or anything involved or required in the business in future.
Got it, clear. And Aman, so can you also talk about the team under you? So apart from you and Aditya, who are the other senior management in terms of sales, credit, finance?
Yes. So all our HODs are more or less at least, 8 to 10 years of industry experience, worked with at least couple of NBFCs, larger NBFCs, competitive NBFCs, know the product policy, teams, how the structure is and all that. So almost all the HODs, for example, are our business head, Mr. Abhishek Rathor. He comes from a background of Shriram Housing, Finova, and Mahindra Rural Housing before he joined us. Ms. Surbhi Rawat, our compliance officer, she has been with us for more than 8-9 years now, almost 7-8 years now. And Mr. Balkishan Sharma, he was with Shriram Finance, Shriram Transport Finance for over a decade before joining us. So, almost all, similarly, our credit head, Mr. Suresh Chauhan, who takes care of the vehicle loan book, he has been with us for more than 12-13 years now, so he understands vehicle loan and our requirement and, customers too well. Our credit head in MSME Lab, Mr. Danish Bagra, he's been with 3 to 4 housing finance companies and NBFCs before joining us. So more or less, all the HODs have been spent at least a decade in this industry, having worked with either us for more than 7-8-10 years or a couple of other NBFCs for more than 3-4 years and then joined us.
Clear. And about the liquidity profile of the company. So typically, how do you manage liquidity? Do you keep some 2 months of disbursements and repayments as liquid cash? So
yes. So we are maintaining 2 to 3 months of liquidity on hand. So we have CC limits of about 13 crores from banks. That is almost underutilized or unutilized throughout the month. And that also negates the, if we have raised new debt and if we are not able to utilize that for a month and a half, that the interest bearing on the CC limit versus the term loan is actually, that negates the negative carry of the interest burden. So almost 13 crores comes from there. Apart from that, we have liquid investments in forms of investments in FDs or some kind of NCDs, PTCs in the DMAT form from large investment companies that are, redeemable at 3-day, 5-day, 7-day notice. So that almost is 12 to 13 crores as on date. Some parked in FD, some form of it parked with these companies.
Got it.
So we are working closely with, you might have heard of Wint Wealth, Giraffe Investments, Grip
Wealth, yeah.
So Grip, Giraffe and Wint Wealth we are working with. So we park our short-term liquidity with them.
Got it. And so in the conference call, you mentioned that a significant amount of loans under the LAP are being foreclosed or pre-closed or settled. So this is quite concerning. So what strategies you have to address or mitigate this issue? And if you could throw some percentage out of 10 loans you disperse, what is the percentage of loans that get prepaid earlier? So can you throw some light on it, Aman?
Yes. So for every 10 loans, there are about 3 loans that get closed. A ballpark number. But the real challenge is not 3:10. The real challenge is the customers who are with us for 1.5-2 years, prompt in their repayments. We have lent them 2 years back at a higher ROI, higher yield, and are fairly, you know, larger ticket size, say 8 lakhs, 10 lakhs. Those are getting run down vis-a-vis the new customers that we are adding are on an average 5 to 6 lakhs of average loan at a lower ROI. So what is happening today is because of so much of pressure on larger SFBs and larger NBFCs, they are not finding new customers. They are relying on the good performing customers of NBFCs, local NBFCs who are present in 2 states, couple of districts, having 20, 30, 40 branches. So typically our kind of NBFCs they are targeting. So you have to understand, you know, we gave a 8 lakh rupee loan on a 20 lakh collateral. That is 40-45% LTV to a customer who was taking a mortgage loan or a secured loan, a large ticket size secured loan for his, his profile for the first time. So we gave this loan out at a 21-22% for 7 years tenure. So the customer was paying roughly, say, 19-20,000 rupees of EMI every month. Now what a larger small finance bank or a large NBFC or HFC is doing is targeting this customer, giving him a top up of 2-3 lakh rupees. So still, you know, their LTV doesn't go above 55-60%. Now this 7 year tenure, customer was paying 20,000 EMI. This tenure they are increasing to 12-13 years, giving that 2-3 lakh rupee additional and giving that loan at a lower ROI of 16-17%. So the EMI of the customer remains same because of longer tenure and lower ROI. Now this SFB or NBFC is confident that, you know, he was paying 20,000 to Beth Fincer for 1.5-2 years. He will be able to pay that kind of EMI to me also. So we are actually challenged on 3 fronts. One is giving a top up. Customer obviously needs a additional amount on the same collateral. If he's getting more, why will he accept less?
Yeah.
So that is one. Number two, the EMI cash flow out of this customer every month is same. And number three, the ROI is also relatively lower. So now fighting on all 3 fronts is becoming a little challenging for us. If we give him a longer tenure and a top up, then the risk increases and the ALM in 3 or 5 year bucket is negative for us. If we don't do that, then we are not able to retain the customer. Earlier, you know, the challenge was only coming on one front, that was giving him a top up. So we were doing that. But now ROI, tenure, top up, all 3 fronts is, you know, quite challenging for us. So what we have understood is for us and players who are raising debt in excess of 12-13%, we will have to keep finding new customers.
Yeah.
New customers, I mean, first time mortgage loan borrower or first time secured MSME loan borrower. These customers might have small two-wheeler loan, gold loan, unsecured business loan, 30, 40, 50,000 kind of small ticket size loans. But secured loan would be the first. So we would have to keep finding these customers.
Mm-hmm.
And having said that, you know, I'll tell you a very honest story that happened with us. In 2015, when we started doing MSME Lab, we opened a branch 35-40 kilometers away from Jaipur in a place called Chaksu,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of, you know, where Jaipur territory ends and rural Rajasthan or rural Jaipur starts. And we almost for first 8-10 months, we realized that, you know, the kind of and we took a very senior profile from there who had worked in the Nagarpalika of that region, knows every customer, you know, who has come in and taken a property title from that Nagarpalika. So we hired him. He was ex-chairman of Nagarpalika Chaksu. Mm-hmm. We thought having that kind of a guy, we would be able to fetch business from day one.
Mm-hmm.
For 8-9 months, we struggled. Then we realized two reasons. One, customers in the rural areas were not comfortable in mortgaging their house with the NBFC, because there were not many NBFCs in Rajasthan that time who were doing MSME lab, secured MSME lab business in rural areas that time. SK, AU, everyone started after 2015-16.
Yeah.
So they were not very, I mean, they were not educated, you can say. And they were hesitant on mortgaging their house. Secondly, we opened our branch middle of the market in the rural area. So they were very hesitant to get their ladies of the family or seniors of the family sitting on the bike to get the loan documentation done. Because the entire village would know, acha, ye phas gaye, they are taking a loan now.
Mm-hmm.
So we shifted our branch to the highway. And, you know, with new NBFCs, HFCs coming in into rural Rajasthan, the customer kind of, you know, if you are hesitant about something, I was hesitant to do mutual funds, for example. Now everybody is saying mutual funds sahi hai, mutual funds sahi hai, mutual funds sahi hai. So that has got into my mind that, yeah, mutual funds sahi hai. Similar story happened with our rural customers. All the NBFCs, HFCs pitching same similar product to the customer. And RBI regulating us and, you know, educating these rural customers that we are sitting for you if anything goes wrong. That kind of instillated that idea in customers' mind that if they have to progress, they have to rely on NBFCs rather than relying on local money lenders, get into a formal structure of borrowing, build their CIBIL scores, credit histories, etc. That is the way forward for them also to, you know, reach maybe a small finance bank in 3 years and maybe likes of HDFC, ICICI in 7 years. So this is a typical life cycle of our borrower. He is with us for two and a half years, goes to say AU Small Finance Bank at 16-17% in 3 years, 2 years. He will spend 2-3 years there, build his profile, documents, income documents, ITRs, credit history, and move to say HDFC, ICICI in next 3 years. So within 6 to 7 years, this customer should reach from 22% to 12% is what he is targeting. And that is rapidly happening also because of so much of tech-enabled lending that is happening, because of so much of data points available, credit history, bureau scores available, customers getting their cash flows through QR codes, UPIs, etc. So a lot of positive change is happening, and customer that, you know, the limited scope that was there with us is widening. So there are a lot of new customers who want to get into a formal credit habit now.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as we are committed to serving them, I think sky is the limit. We'll be able to get new customers onboarded every quarter, every year, and every customer every company will get their share and will get their share of customers. So although the competitive, the industry is getting competitive, but still the scope is widening. Aspiration is widening in the rural areas. Nobody wants to, you know, go in a non-AC car now. Everybody wants an AC car. Family who was traveling on a bike at least wants a entry level, say, Maruti Alto.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I also have an Alto.
Okay,
that is the rural aspiration also, you know.
Yeah.
So when we started doing vehicle loans from 1991 to 2011-12, 70% of our vehicle loan AUM was only Mahindra and Tata.
That is also because of your Rajasthan exposure towards Bolero, that the thing is high, no?
Yes. So you would have seen Mahindra Jeeps carrying 13, 14, 15, 16, 20 people also at once from rural areas, 20, 30, 40 kilometers. You know, people are hanging in the, sitting on the roof, hanging through all the windows and exits and, you know, traveling like that. That is gone now, yeah. Nobody wants to travel like that. Everybody wants to sit in a AC cab and go, even rural areas.
Yeah, basic dignity is something which everyone is expecting.
And even the, you know, government is being more diligent now, because those Jeeps, if they overturned, having a soft top, it wasn't a hard top vehicle.
Yeah.
There were a lot of casualties and accidents that were happening because of so much, you know, overloading, over passengers, uninsured cars. So that is also completely changing now. Everybody wants a personal car for themselves.
Just one question from my side, Amal. It's like, now the business is very clear that, you know, until we, you know, go and attract a lot more customers, because competition is pounding from all directions. So until we expand the consumer base, you know, the expected growth that we think is very difficult to get from. So how saturated do you think Rajasthan as a market is from your perspective? Because roughly you have been operating in that state for more than 3 decades or so. So would, is there any steam that is left in terms of milking the cash cow vis-a-vis, you know, focused expansion in adjacent states like MP and Gujarat? So within these two, which would be the ideal thing to do in the short to medium term?
I wouldn't lie to you.
We also feel
Rajasthan is oversaturated now.
Yeah.
Because of so many local NBFCs and larger NBFCs who have come into Rajasthan. Every NBFC who is operating, you know, in North India is present in Rajasthan. Every NBFC who is present in, so there are a lot of NBFCs from Kerala, Tamil Nadu, who have opened their second, third state as Rajasthan.
Okay.
So that's why when I said, you know, we are not very comfortable about the credit underwriting in MSME lab, this is the major challenge.
Okay.
So some part of Rajasthan still we have not covered, the southern areas around Udaipur, etc. We have not still covered. So that could be future expansion. And but definitely for us, the way forward will be going into newer territories and newer states, increasing our presence there. Okay. Which will obviously, you know, be a little bit of challenging in terms of understanding the title there, property title, policy, how the local bodies work. But we have to crack that. So the way forward is to expand into newer geographies.
Got it.
So our branch, you know, our oldest branch, for example, there is a branch called Sikar, which is around 120 kilometers from Jaipur.
Jaipur, yeah.
We are present there since more than 2 decades now. That Sikar branch with a team size of 3 to 4 people was doing about 80, 85 lakhs, 90 lakhs on a monthly basis 4-5 years back. But now I'm getting only 40, 50 lakhs from that branch. So what we have understood is, we will get 30 to 50 lakh rupees from a branch. Monthly disbursement, monthly contribution to the AUM. Not the AUM, but disbursements.
Okay.
So that will be our typical contribution per branch to the overall monthly disbursement. And that is what we are targeting. So in Gujarat, when we went, we didn't go to, you know, Baroda, Surat and Ahmedabad. We went to smaller locations. Because if I go to Ahmedabad, I will get lost. Because there are so many players competing for that similar profile of customer, I will get lost there. So our actual focus and our actual target is also to go to tier 3, tier 4, tehsil level locations. Find good people there, build a 30, 40, 50 lakh rupee kind of a monthly contribution branch and grow there. Rentals are much lower. The operational expenses are much lower. The team that comes in is at a relatively lower CTC. So if I have to build a team, similar, you know, team in say Mumbai, it would cost me 2 lakh rupee a month vis-a-vis in Sikar, I'm giving 1 lakh rupee, and if I go to place called Nawalgarh, which is tehsil level location of Sikar, I would have to pay 75-80K to that team. So, and the yield is same and product is same.
Okay, so who is guiding you in deciding all these geographies? So have you tied up with any agencies, or how do you decide this is the right location to go?
Experience.
Okay.
only experience.
Clear. And also, are we engaged in any co-lending assignment or securitization so that the risk is also transferred to other parties such as banks?
Yeah, we have done one securitization transaction, but that is almost relatively nil now. It has run down.
Okay.
Although we can see that as a source of cash flow, but being so under leveraged doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Once we face some kind of, you know, restrictions around capital adequacy or ALM, then it will make sense for us to securitize longer tenure loans. But doesn't feel right now.
Logical. With regards to this, so we were supposed to have a call with Elevation Capital, right? That was also disclosed to the exchanges, but it was subsequently cancelled. So any reason for the cancellation? Because they're a significant private equity player. So are we considering bringing in a PE firm or a large investor to support our growth post FY26 or something?
So for next 2 years, we are clear. We are not going to, start looking for some kind of a large strategic investor. It's going to only happen after we achieve our A minus kind of a rating. We are almost 2.5-3 times leverage, if not more. So at 600 crores AUM, we see our overall debt to be around 420 crores, which will be 2.2x.
Yeah.
So yeah, 2.2-2.3x. Only post that is when we feel we should start looking for something like that, but not as of now.
Okay. So this call was for an NCD or?
Yeah, I'm not sure also, because I think the call was either cancelled or postponed because of somebody from their team traveling or something like that. I'm not very sure.
Got it. And two last questions. See, a corporate shareholding pattern. So almost 40% is held by corporate entities. So are you familiar with these corporate shareholders? So can you provide some background about how this happened? So are these companies so unrelated to the promoter group, maybe your friends, or because it is something different, right? So the way were they with you right from the start? So how did this happen, if you could throw some light?
So these are unrelated companies to us. They are not at all related to us. But yes, we have also seen this, and I have come up with this question from a couple of other guys also, a couple of other investors also. And maybe they were holding this for a long time and finding a right time to exit. Maybe not. I'm not very sure about that. But the companies are unrelated to us.
Got it. Clear. Okay. And in terms of our board, this is the last question. So in terms of our board, how do you see that the board is structured, the independent directors, the profile of those directors? Are you talking to someone senior in the industry also? So
so there is a senior banker who we have engaged in conversations with. From a large bank, retired now. So we have engaged with one person like that till now. And maybe this year end or next year we would try to get in one or two professionals on the board, but who have, you know, on ground industry experience and can help us in formulating policies or, you know, making new relationship with larger banks, etc. We have that, and definitely we will start. We have started working on that aspect, and we will try that, you know, this year or maybe next year. We are trying to get some people like those also on the board.
Sure, Amit. Sure, yeah. So yeah, that's it. The questions from my end. Thank you for your detailed responses. Much appreciated.
No problem.
Look forward for further investing.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks. Thanks. Bye.